thank you all for coming to the celebration of Tina Marie Zagel, Zagar. I know Zagars too, so. We're going to start with a song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. If you don't know it, eventually you will, because I'll sing it really loudly. Let's stand and sing. Seated. So the chorus of that song wasn't written by Thomas Chisholm. It was written by a man named Jeremiah, who wrote a book in the Bible called Lamentations. He was lamenting a lot of sorrows in his life. He's a weeping prophet, they call them. And in the middle of these lamentations, he says, "Great is thy, Charles Chisholm used that. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see," even though his life was a wreck. So I think Rochelle picked out that hymn, and I thought, as we're singing it, that's perfect for today, because we're suffering today. We're sorrowful today, and it's perfect to rejoice in the God that has a plan and knows what's going on and knows our hearts. To start off, I would just like to read the obituary. On the website at Shimon, I got the obituary. I just want to read it for everyone. "With heavy hearts, we announce the passing of our beloved child, Gina Zagar, who was taken from us far too soon on November 13, 2024, at the tender age of 36. She brought immeasurable joy and light into our lives with her kind heart, radiant smile, and boundless creativity. Though her time with us was brief, the depth of love and happiness she shared will forever remain in our hearts. She leaves behind her father, Don, her brother, mother, Brenda, her daughter, Jayla, her granddaughter, Janaya, her grandmother, Shirley and Donna, and extended family. Jenna was born in Hartford and lived there her whole life. She went on to school for cosmetology and was great at cutting and styling hair. Gina had great joy in spending time with her daughter, Jayla. They would go to the movie theater, bowling, sled riding, rollerblading, motorcycling, and playing bingo at the senior center. She had a real talent for drawing and painting, which she handed down to Jayla. Having her daughter and granddaughter meant the world to her. Here we are celebrating Gina Zagar's life, and I'm so glad that you family and friends are here to do that together, and what a gift she is to us all. And now we're going to have Rochelle and Olivia sing a song for us.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the heavenly land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over. For me, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that heavenly land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
We're going to have another song, but I just want to say a few things that bring some hope to today. And I didn't know Gina, but I feel like I know a little bit about her now. I know that she loved Jayla more than life itself, and Janaya as well. I also know that Gina was unique, utterly exceptional, and infinitely significant. And you think, well, how would you know that? I think most of you would probably agree she was unique. But how do I know she's utterly exceptional and infinitely significant? The reason I know that is because the Bible says so. It says that each one of us is created in that manner, that we are infinite, that we will live forever, either with God or separated from him. And he has given us his perspective in the Bible, that he finds us to be utterly exceptional and infinitely significant, and very important to know that. How do we know who God is? And this is going to be very quick, but I just want to go through some of the things from the Bible, because if I don't give you the Word of God, then you won't have the hope. Just me talking, I'm giving it to you from the Word of God. And we feel like we're just dominated by our heredity, like who are our family members, or the stuff that comes to us, or our surroundings, and that's who we are. And a wonderful quote by C.S. Lewis is that we feel like we're on a train that we didn't start and we don't know how to stop it. And I love that. I feel like we're just run over by our lives sometimes. And I know that I'm that way, and I feel like the Bible tells me that probably all of you are that way too. And so if we get to know God from His Word, first thing we know is from Genesis 1:1, the very first verse of the Bible, that God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He is a perfect being. It's okay, Janiyah. And don't worry about the noise. We have that in church too. So we're all good. He is perfect in every way. The Bible tells us that He's not a God like any other God, that He's actually three persons, but one God, because they're always in agreement. And the best place I find that is in Matthew 3:16-17. When Jesus is baptized, Jesus comes up immediately from the water. So there's God the Son. And behold, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove upon Him. That's God the Spirit. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, if Jesus is His Son, then that's God the Father speaking. All three are present. So Scripture clearly teaches that there's a three-person God, that's one God. And He's perfect, and He's perfectly loving. Before He created anything, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loved each other with an infinite love. And they cared for each other. And they weren't bored, and they weren't lonely, but for some obscure reason that I'm still working out, He decided to create all of us. And He knew there was going to be a problem when He created us, because He knew that we would choose to go away from God. That is the manner of human beings. The Bible kind of explains that, but it's the truth. Every human being wants to run away from their Creator. That's God knew that would happen. So before He created everything, He designed a plan so that we could come back to Him. And the Bible talks about this from the Genesis 1:1 through the very end. In Genesis 1:26-27, God said, let us, that's that three-person thing, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Pause there. So human beings are made in the image of God and in the likeness of God. That's a high, high calling. Not like any other animal on earth. We are separated from them. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the flesh of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him male and female. He created him. So He created us in His image and likeness. And yet we had a deadly fault that God doesn't have. And that fault is that we choose to go away from Him. And we choose to not be good and loving like He is. But the wonderful thing about God's plan is that He's now able to demonstrate a bunch of His other attributes. The three of them were happy before creation, loving each other, being good, but they couldn't be merciful. They couldn't be gracious because they never did anything bad. They couldn't be just in the way that they can be just now and hate evil, hate death. I'll tell you right now, God is weeping more than any of us over Gina right now, because He cared about her. And He cares about each human being more than we could. And the Bible is very clear about that. Because we, even though, and I quote this from Paul in Romans 3:10, Paul quotes from six different places in the Old Testament. So the entire Bible has this one message at the very beginning. Paul says, "It is written, none is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God, all have turned aside, together they have become worthless, no one does good, not even one." That's pretty strong. That's the message of the Bible. God is perfect and just, and He rejects our badness, and He separates Himself from us. But God, perfectly good and loving, loves each of us infinitely. And He demonstrates these characteristics that we couldn't before. And one of the verses we hear a lot at Christmas demonstrates His grace. And it was written several hundred years before Jesus was born. And you may not know that because you hear it at Christmas time when Jesus was born. But before he was born, Isaiah the prophet said, "For to us a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." That's Jesus. He was born, just like Isaiah prophesied, and many other prophecies about him, his birth, his life, and his death, because Jesus died. And even though he died as a human being, he was still God, and God can pay the price for us being separated from God. And that price is best explained in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Paul says, "He made him," that's Jesus, "who knew no sin," because he lived a perfect life, "to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That's the gift of God. That's the grace that he couldn't show when it was just the three of them. But when he created humanity, he shows that grace. And many of us in this room are testimony to that attribute of God, that he's a gracious God. But he can't just accept everyone. He has to have a payment for sin. And so we come to him through Jesus. And we have that mercy from him that we don't get punished for our sin. I will never be punished for my sin. Not because I'm better than any of you. I'd venture to weigh that I'm probably worse than any of you because I know my own heart. But because of the mercy of God and grace in Jesus. And so I just conclude with Paul, the verse before, saying, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And so those of us who have been reconciled with God just by believing that Jesus was God, died for our sins, we are now ambassadors for God. And I'm one of those ambassadors, and I'm here this afternoon to tell you, be reconciled to God. That's what memorial services are for, is to remember our lives and to say, my time is coming. Gina's time has come. And to reconcile with God. And of course, the main reason we're here today is to remember Gina. And we're going to have a time of sharing. So I want to make sure you're all going to come up here. And I really encourage you to come up here. We're recording this service. And if you do happen to say something you want me to erase, I can edit it. But I want to put it out there so people can know Gina and know how she affected you. And I want you to be thinking about that now. No comment is not enough. I'd like you to come up to the lectern, but if you can't, you can say it from where you are. But if you come up here, people way in the back in this giant church will be able to hear you. So we will have time for that. But I'm just going to say a prayer, and then we're going to have another song. Our Father, thank you for letting us know who you are, even when we didn't want to know. And I pray, Lord, that if there are people here today that didn't come here to know more about you, that just seeing from your word how much you love them, that you planned this whole thing out, that they would be here today to hear again, maybe, or for the first time, how much you love them, and that they would investigate this using the brain you've given them to see how you are calling them to be one of yours through Jesus. We thank you again for this memorial of Gina. Pray that we can have a wonderful time of sharing in a few minutes. And thank you again for the music of Rochelle and Olivia. And we look forward to hearing what they give us next. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The song is called Day by Day. And it's it's about the comfort that the Lord gives us when we lose somebody or for any trials that we go through.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto lovingly, 'tis part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest.
Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This a pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not fiercely consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meet thee, ere to take as from a father's hand. One by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the heavenly land. One by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the heavenly land.
Beautiful. Thank you. And now we share. So, come up. Thank you, Crystal.
I thank God for cousins. They're some of our first friends. And I remember Gina when we were little girls. She just kind of threw herself at the world and just expected it to catch her. And I, for one, needed that in my life. I was a very shy kid. So we would go visit Grandma O'Connor's house. And I would say, Gina, ask Grandma O'Connor to give us some M&Ms. And she'd be like, I don't really want M&Ms. And I'm like, but I do. And I'd say, please, please go ask. And she always did. And we grew up in the country. Gina did not. And I'd say we were kind of like feral country kids. And as adults, she still remembered one of the times she came over, and we had like big construction bins. And we stuck her in one of them and rolled her down a giant hill. And mind you, she wanted to. We all did it. It was a lot of fun. And as adults, like last year, I think it was, she was like, that was so much fun, and I'm just so grateful that we were able to make those memories with her.
I know I may not have been related to Gina, but Jayla's my friend, so I'm here today supporting her. One of my main memories of Gina, it's my favorite, always think about it, is it was only one of my, it's like my second time meeting Gina, but I went up to the Dells with her and Jayla and some other friends. And like kids, you know, I mean, Gina, only adult there, but she's nice enough to let us kind of have our free range and be kids, you know. And you know what, there's a couple moments where she was kind of kids with us enjoying her time. And it was the middle of the night, and we decided that we were bored, and we wanted to go walk around the hotel room and just kind of explore what, because we were at the Chula Vista, explore a little bit. And we didn't really think prior to it, and we may have accidentally locked ourselves out of the hotel room. And Gina was asleep by this time. We were outside, and we went to go back in, and obviously couldn't get in. But we were down, and we were just yelling up to the patio. We were on like the third floor, yelling for her, hoping to wake her up. We were knocking on the door, and we were just going around, and finally she woke up and she let us in. But the best part about it is her reaction. She wasn't mad or anything, but all she could think is about how stupid we were for it, and just laughing at us. But that was probably my favorite memory I have of her. And we all miss her, and we're all going to, but you know, things happen for a reason, and it was her time, and we just got to respect that.
I just wanted to thank everybody, myself, for coming. It means a lot to me. I didn't really want to come up, but I know I would regret it if I didn't. My mom, she lived every day how she wanted to, which is the best way to live your life. She did whatever made her happy every single day. And I am so thankful. But throughout the time, I did get to spend with her. Something that will always stick with me, that I'll always think about, is how she would always pay attention to how everything would be in her room. Because simply, every time she would leave or go to work, I'd always go into her room and steal some of her clothes. You can't tell. I'm wearing her shirt and her shoes today. And she would always be like, Jayla, do you have my favorite pair of shoes or my sweatshirt? And I'd always be like, no. I did. And it was... So it's a lot. But also, I would always... Oh my gosh, this is hard. She, as much as she didn't want to, she would always drive me all the way out to Keewaskum to go see just my friend Addie. And sitting back there, sorry, pointing you out. And, you know, I am a homebody, and I, like, get very homesick. And, you know, the deal would always be stay out there for the whole weekend to make the ride worth it. And the second day I'm there, I'd be, like, feeling really homesick, so I'll call my mom. She'll be like, Jayla, you knew what the deal was. And I'd be like, I know, Mom. I miss you. And she's like, okay, fine, I miss you too. Come get you. So she'll drive the whole 35 minutes and come out there again, even though she wasn't supposed to, wasn't planned, and drop whatever she was doing too. And yeah, I have more, but I just can't right now.
I remember when we were kids, it would be so much fun going over by Aunt Gina and Jayla. And the best part about it wasn't just, oh, they have really cool stuff. Aunt Gina would play with us too. Didn't matter how old we were. We could be 6 years old, playing Barbies, and she was sitting right there holding Ken, looking at us like, what on earth are you doing? Another thing I always remember is I'm pretty tall. I'm 5'9". She was like 5 foot maybe. Every time I would see her, her first thing is she would give me a hug and then look up at me and be like, why are you so tall? She would always yell at me for being so tall. And whenever I wore heels, she'd just kind of glare at me like, dude, no. And to this day, even the last time I went over to see Jayla and Aunt Gina, she was still there and checking in on us, being part of the gossip. And it's hard for it to feel real because I didn't get to see Aunt Gina much. The realest time is when I look at my hair and I go, oh, I need to get a trim. Because how old was I the first time she gave me a haircut? It's been the entire time. First time I bleached my hair, Aunt Gina. First time I dyed it, Aunt Gina. Every single haircut, Aunt Gina. It's going to be hard for it to feel real for a lot of us who didn't see her every day. But rather than being really upset when it's that situation that reminds you of her, just think to yourself, smile, and know that she made that effect. She was there. Even when she wasn't, she was always there, and she'll still be here now.
I remember when there was one summer, I spent the whole summer by Jayla and Gina. Spent Don, and I'm sure Don got pretty annoyed by me. I was over there every night, every day. And even when Jayla was getting annoyed at me, Gina never did. Maybe she did sometimes, but she still always kept up with me and still dealt with me. And even since we were kids, me and Jayla were childhood best friends. Like, we just always stuck by each other, and Gina was always there for anybody. Gina loved Jayla so much, and it's just, she had so much love for anybody. She did everything, and it's just, it sucks.
So I wasn't blood related to Jayla's family, but I always felt a part of the family every time I was over. I knew Jayla from a very early age in third grade. Gina was like a second mom to me at that time. Sorry. Caitlin, you go.
Every time I came to Jayla's house, I knew I was going to have fun because Gina was there. Like, one thing about Gina, she lived in the moment. Like, she did not care. She just had, like, a wild kind of spirit. And it's something everybody should have because I just want to be like her when I'm older.
Yeah, Gina was a very fun-loving soul, and she always had fun with me and Jayla. She would always make TikToks with us, no matter how much she was not that good at dancing. I remember one time she was doing someone's hair, I don't know who it was, and I was over in her basement, and I found a dead mouse in the basement floor, and I'm like, oh, look, a mouse, and Gina still remembers that to this day. She's always saying, oh my gosh, a mouse. That was one of my favorite memories, or when she would do our nails, and I was always too scared to get acrylics because I didn't want them to fall off. But yeah, Gina was a very fun person to be around, and she was always like the life of the party. She never had a dull moment.
I wasn't blood related to her either, but I've been friends with Jayla for a few years now, and she's just such an amazing person, and she's such a good friend to me, and now I know where she got it from, her amazing mother. And I remember this past summer, me and Giovanna and Caitlin, and we were hanging out at Jayla's house, and Jayla's mom got home, and she came outside, and she was just so happy and so full of light, and just, she's so beautiful. And she was just always...
So I wasn't blood related either, but she was always like my second mom.
Thank you for sharing. I can't imagine how hard it is. And please stay after and share some more among yourselves. I'd like to get to know some of you as well. And we're going to finish with a song that we've picked out again. I think you'll know this one. Amazing Grace.